Hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for joining me in Bible study. In the previous podcast, the previous study, we'd gotten down to verse 11 of chapter 4 of James's letter. And I just want to add a few more comments to kind of wrap up chapter 4. So let's look at it beginning in verse 11. Father, I pray that you would be our teacher as we look at your word. Just a few more minutes here. Help us to see what we need to see. Help us to listen to you. Help us to become more like Jesus. Help us to examine ourselves to see whether in the faith. And help us, Lord, to respond to your word in a way that will make you happy, in a way that will honor you and glorify you. And of course, in a way that ultimately will bring us great joy and great satisfaction and great peace, knowing that we're thinking your way, thinking your kinds of thoughts. Lord, we know that we never have regrets when we take your word seriously. So help us not to explain it away, not to rationalize, but to take you seriously and try to understand what you're saying to us as we look at these words that you've given us right now. Thank you so much for giving them to us through this man, James, of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. So he's been talking about pursuing humility and practicing the presence of God. And as we do that, we will certainly be paying attention to words like this. Listen to verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So his warning here about the way we talk about other people, the word speak evil in the ESV there in verse 11, is actually in the Greek one word, katalaleo. That's the verb form. The noun form is katalalia. And Guzik quotes what William Barclay said about the word katalalia. He said, katalalia is a sin of those who meet in corners and gather in little groups and pass on confidential information which destroy the good name of those who are not there to defend themselves. And we obviously need to be always thinking, what effect are my words having on other people? Am I destroying people behind their backs? When we get serious about pursuing humility and practicing the presence of God, one of the outcomes of that, well, we'll learn to keep a watch over our tongues. We will be tuned in to the danger of saying things that hurt someone else's reputation, or that make other people think less of someone else. We'll be tuned into the danger of being unloving in our words. And what that amounts to, like James says here, I try to act like the real judge. We're not the real judge. God's the judge. And we put ourselves in his place. Very disastrous. Matthew Poole is a commentator that's written a lot of Bible commentaries. A lot of people like to use his work. He was an English theologian. He lived in the 1600s, just like Brother Lawrence. And he wrote this about that verse. Who art thou? What a sorry creature, a man, a worm, that thou shouldest lift up thyself into God's place and make thyself a judge of one not subject to thee. It's something we need to keep in mind. They're not our servants. They're God's servants. We need to be careful that we don't try to put ourselves in the place of God. Next, in verses 13 through 16, James warns us of the sin of presumption. Here's what he says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And of course, these verses right here are the very reason when someone asks us a reason for our plans, and I bet you say this pretty often too, we often start with, well, God willing, this is what I'm planning to do, or Lord willing, I'll meet you next Tuesday. That's a very healthy thing to do, to start a sentence when we're about to tell somebody our plans. because we need to keep in mind, and it's good to say this verbally, God, he's happy when we make plans. We have to make plans. He wants us to do that, but he wants us to be constantly aware that he reserves the right, he can, he often does, change our plans. He can do that anytime. He does it all the time, including, of course, the decision, as James points out here, that our time in this body is over. Spurgeon said this, "There are two great certainties about things that shall come to pass. One is that God knows. The other is that we do not know." That's very well said. When I was a young man, and I don't know if you can remember this kind of thing or not, but it was fairly common for Christians to try to come up with an idea about what their life verse might be. Sometimes we would choose what we would call a life verse, and that might change over time, but it was a verse that seemed to hold special meaning for us and special power for us over a long period of time. Are you familiar with that concept? Have you ever thought about a life verse? When I was very young, this was many decades ago, that last part of verse 14 I thought was a good life verse for me. In King James, it reads like this, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away." And it just seemed to me to speak volumes to me about the brevity of life and how I didn't need to presume on life at all. And through the decades, I prayed that verse back to God a lot. It's a good one to pray back. You know, something like this, "Lord, please help me realize I'm not promised tomorrow. I don't know if I'll be here the rest of the day or not." And actually, ultimately, however long I live, whether I die today or whether I live to be over 100, in light of eternity, even if you live to be over 100, your life is still like a vapor. It appears briefly, like a little bit of vapor that might appear over a cup of coffee or something. It's going to vanish away quickly. So Lord, help me to live in light of eternity. We've got to get that into our systems, into our minds, into our hearts. He closes this chapter in verse 17 by saying, "So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." Of course, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's given us some powerful truth in these verses, and he's saying, okay, now you know the truth. Now you know the truth. I've given you God's truth. You know how important it is to pursue humility. You know how important it is to practice the presence of God. You know how important it is to live from the perspective of eternity, not just in this life only. You know how important it is not to presume on God. You know how important it is to resist the devil, and you need to be doing all of these things, he said. So now you know. Now you know the right thing to do. But he says there's a great danger, because it's easy to hear these things and even to say amen. It's easy to talk about these things and say, oh yes, this is really important. But it's a lot easier to talk about it and listen to it and say amen than it is to actually do it. So he's giving us a warning here. He's saying, be careful. Don't feel too good about yourself for giving mental or verbal assent to these things. He said, we've got to realize our need for God's grace to actually live by these things. We won't be able to do it in our own strength. Remember, we're the branches. He's the vine. But we've got to do these things in the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. So let's make sure that we make up our mind, as James had said earlier, we're not just going to be hearers of the word. We're not even just going to be affirmers of the word. We're going to be doers of the word, not in our strength, not in our flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Father, thank you so much for giving us these chapters, these verses. Thank you so much for reminding us of this powerful truth. And Lord, we really do want to be more like Jesus. We don't want to be just like the man who looked at the word as if we were looking at our image in a mirror and then walk away and forget what we've seen, forget what we've heard, forget what we've thought about, forget what we've affirmed. Lord, please help us to internalize these things and to live by these things. Lord, we want to learn to practice humility and pursue it with all of our hearts. Lord, we want to recognize pride and egotism and egoism when it creeps up inside us. Lord, we want to recognize it and by your grace stomp on it. Lord, we want to remember that you're with us all the time, that you never leave us, Lord. We pray you'd help us to live in light of your continuing presence with us. And Father, we want to learn to live in light of eternity. We know, Father, that however long we live in these bodies, that one of these days is going to seem incredibly, unspeakably brief. So, Father, please help us not to waste all our energy and time and resources with things that are just going to pass away. Lord, help us to think in terms and live in terms of eternity. We don't want to presume on you. We want to defer to you at all times. And Lord, we want to be faithful to do the battle you've given us to do against Satan here as we walk in these bodies and we fight the flesh and we fight the world and we fight Satan. So help us, Lord, to be effective spiritual warriors. Just help us, Lord, to apply these things in a way that will bring you the most glory. Fill us and help us to stay closely attached to you, like those branches attached to the vine, so that you can do whatever you choose to do through us and get glory in Jesus' name. Amen.